Right, so we continue this series of By Faith. And this week brings us to the great man, Moses. And the emphasis really is about not so much the individuals in this chapter of Hebrews 11, but rather on the faith that they had. But can you define faith? It's not that easy. I've asked a couple of people, and to actually do it in a sentence is quite difficult. So I consulted some, if we can just have this, some senior theologians to see if they could help us out with a definition of faith. Well, we got there in the end. Some were closer than others. But this Bible faith, I am so pleased that the writer to Hebrews, in this is the chapter that we're considering here, in Hebrews 11. The writer, we don't know who it was, probably the Apostle Paul, but whoever it was really did put it in the best possible way. We've got it up there. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. One sentence and it's all there. That's great, isn't it? And it was this that is what the ancients were commended for. You'll notice as well on this list of people here that the writer never said it was because they were great people that they were listed here. He said it's because they were men and women of great faith. And as I said, this brings us to Moses. So let us just do a quick overview of some of the highlights of Moses' life. Verse 23 of Hebrews 11. Hopefully we've got it up there. Brilliant. Verse 23, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Interesting that, because here in this long list of faithful men and women is Moses' parents. Who were Moses' parents? I've no idea. I don't even know their names. But they're listed here. And because they weren't afraid of the king's edict. Moses was born at the time where Pharaoh put out this decree that baby boys would have to be put to death. And so they hid him. And the famous story goes. Interestingly, we see a parallel straight away at the time of Moses' birth with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was also many years in the future to be born at the time where Herod also put out this decree for baby boys to be put to death. There are always these parallels. The internal harmony of Scripture is outstanding. As we look at the life of Moses and many of the other faithful servants. Let's just go a little bit further on. What else do we know about Moses? Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. What a sacrifice Moses made. He was brought up in royalty, really, in the household of Pharaoh. He would have had the best of everything. He would have had the best education, the best food, the best military training in the luxuries of being in Pharaoh's household. And yet, I noted the other day, actually, that Moses could have been, if he'd stayed in that household, the next Pharaoh. Some Bible scholars believe that he would have been in line to be the next leader of the most powerful country on earth at that time. And he gave that up to suffer for Christ Jesus. which is quite a thought, really, isn't it? And again, we have this parallel, which I'll just mention. Moses left royalty to suffer to become a savior for Israel. Jesus Christ also gave up royalty in heaven to come down to be a man, to humble himself and to suffer and to be a savior. Verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. The Passover, the famous Passover. The Israelites, through Moses, were told that they had to sacrifice a lamb, put the blood on the doorposts, and that would mean that they would be saved from the destroyer. Jesus also was the Lamb of God, the unblemished Lamb of God, whose shed blood would save the world. The internal harmony in Scripture is amazing. The more you look at it, the more you see. It was written over a period of 3,500 years, and yet you can see that there is one author, God himself. All these men were all pointed in some way to the greater Moses, the greater Abraham, to Jesus Christ himself. But the point is, as the writer goes down here, it was by faith. It doesn't say that they were great people per se, but they had great faith. Moses really was a very, very ordinary man. We know that Moses argued with God. Moses at times angered God. Moses actually, in a fit of rage one day, committed murder. He struck down one of the Egyptians and tried to hide his body. There were times where Moses felt inadequate. He said to God, "You're asking me to do this job to save and deliver Israel, and yet I don't even speak very well. I'm not very eloquent. I don't think I'm the man for the job." He had self-doubt. And really that goes for all of God's servants, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. You think about King David. You think about the apostles. They were all men that had faults and failings and inadequacies. Those are the kind of people that God uses. And that's why Moses' story is our story. That's why Moses' journey is our journey. We can relate to it very well. Let's just have a look at Moses' most famous story, and that is the one of the Red Sea. I painted that a couple of days ago. Signed versions are available. Steve Carroll approves. Yeah, so the Red Sea. We've got that in verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians tried to do so and they were drowned. So we have the account there. Now, you think about this Red Sea. We'll just dwell on this for a few moments. The Red Sea situation was totally and utterly unreasonable. If you'd have been, that really tested the faith of Moses. I mean, here we have now the waters parted, but before the waters parted, that would have tested Moses' faith, because geographically, if you go to the area now, to the left, they were in the desert, to the left of them were mountains, to the right of them were mountains, to the back of them was a pursuing Egyptian army, and ahead of them was an ocean. They were stuck between a rock and a hard place. They really were. There was nowhere to go. And if you read the Exodus account, you'll see that many of the Israelites at this time said, "What is this about? Why, Moses, have you brought us out of Egypt to bring us to a place of destruction? We're going to lose our lives here. There's no escape. I'll not even get a decent burial. There's not even a grave for us here in this sand. And that tested their faith. They could have said, we're in a real mess. They began to blame Moses. Moses, at times, had the tendency to blame God. We're trapped. We're stuck. And I thought maybe we could just say to ourselves, have we ever had a Red Sea experience? Or maybe we feel that we're going through a Red Sea experience where God has brought us so far, and yet we're stuck. There is no escape. Well, I can think of one that I went through, and that is, as many of you know, I was one of Jehovah's Witnesses. And many years ago, God was delivering me out of that organization. That was very clear. I knew that. And I knew that God said that you would have to worship me in spirit and truth. That is the plain fact. God wants us to worship him in spirit and truth. And I couldn't do it whilst I was part of that organization. That's all well and good. But the problem was, I knew if I left that organization, because I've been there since birth, I would lose contact with all my family and some long-standing friends as well. Now, I could have said to God, and probably did at the time, God, this is totally unreasonable. You cannot expect me to come out of this organization to worship you in spirit and truth and to lose my family. I was in a real mess. That was a Red Sea situation. I could see no way out of that. Well, the upshot of it is that I did leave the organization, and sure enough, I did lose contact with my family. I've got two boys, two adult boys. I had lost contact with them. I lost contact with my parents, with my brother, and some good friends that I'd known for many years that were all part of this organization. Well, God has been faithful. There's been a lot of pain. There's been a lot of hurt along the way. But God has been very faithful. He's provided me with a good family down here. A wife that's at times a challenge. But by and large, a good family. I'm sorry. That's my dinner gone, hasn't it? Oh, dear. Life gone. My life's gone, yeah. In one fell swoop. Yeah, God has been faithful. He's provided me with a good business. He's provided me with a good home. And I'm being used in this church. I'm here today giving this sermon this morning. God has been faithful. It doesn't completely take away the pain of the situation, but maybe you can think of a Red Sea situation where you think, God has brought me thus far, but I am stuck. There's no escape out of this. A lady came to me many years ago and said, I've fallen in love with a man and I want to spend the rest of my life with him. The only problem I have is that I've got a husband and two children at home. She said, there's no escape. I know what God wants, and sometimes we listen to what God has to say, and then we check out the reasonableness of it. Is it reasonable what God is asking? Well, coming back to Moses, I've heard the argument said that many of these ancient servants of God, if I'd seen all those miracles, I too would have the faith of Moses. They saw the plagues on Egypt. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. My faith would be up here if I'd seen those things with all those miracles. Do you know, the fact of the matter is, we have every reason, if not more reason, to have faith and trust in God than even some of these ancient servants. How can I say that? Well, for Moses, Jesus' life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection was some 1,800 years into the future. He could only have faith that that would happen, and he only had small details of what that would involve. For us, it's a historical account that took place 2,000 years ago. We have the New Testament that tells us the benefits of that. Moses was in an old law covenant. We're in a better covenant because of Christ Jesus. We're in a covenant that the Apostle Paul says is a new covenant and is a better covenant. We also have the same promises that Moses had. God said to Moses in Exodus, before this all took place, Moses said, I'll paraphrase this rather than read it. Moses, in my strength, you will succeed. I will be with you all the way. I'm right with you on that journey. Do you know that's no less for us? How do we know? Because this is the promise to us in Matthew 28. This is the promise that we have. This is just after Jesus' resurrection, one of the final, some of the final words he said to his followers. He said, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's quite some statement, isn't it? Jesus is the control center of the entire universe. And then he went on to say and said, and surely I am with you always and to the very end of the age. That is some promise, and that is the promise that Jesus gave to us. Just the same as what was given to Moses. If that's the case, we can take God at his word. We can trust God. And we can expect the same success as what Moses had. Extraordinary things can take place in our lives. And that's not because we're great. Actually, Moses was an ordinary man. Many of them were ordinary men. The apostles were. We are very ordinary. God takes great delight in using ordinary people to accomplish great things. That's always been the case with God's servants. So the day may come where God can say, by faith, Steve accomplished these things. By faith, Debbie accomplished these things. By faith, John. By faith, whoever. Because they trusted in me. Not that they were great in themselves. I need God's mercy more than most. I related that story about the witnesses because it was a Red Sea situation. I need God's mercy. I am a broken individual, and I have failed, and I have sinned, and I've had to call upon God's mercy. So it's not that we're great in ourselves. It's that we serve a great God. So there are some good lessons, really, from the life of Moses. His journey is our spiritual journey today. His story is our story. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the reminders that we have in your word, that you are truly the author of Scripture. We can see that this pointed to the great arrival of Jesus Christ. And what a privileged position we're in, Father, to be able to be part of the new covenant, a better covenant. And if we can just learn to have trust and have faith in you, we can accomplish great things, even though we are broken vessels. We can do great things for you. Please, Father, enable us to have that great trust for you, that we can do wonderful things for your glory, for your fame. Father, we bless you. We thank you for the reminders we have. Please, may we not put limits on you, but know what we have in the new covenant. We have your blessing. We have the strength of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our lives. We praise you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Steve.